Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in loop. And yesterday we made mention of the breaking news of the day, really. It was the NFL news in that we have a first head coach fired in the National Football League, and it's in the AFC South. It was Brian Callahan, not Bill, although Bill did announce that.
Bill said, I'm out.
He's like,
I'm
out staying. Too. Letting y'all know, I ain't
y'all
hanging
gonna around. Y'all going to fire my son? Y'all got to fire me, too.
And it was like, kick rocks,
you know what? Yeah. I quit.
Yeah.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Oh, yeah, that's probably how it worked out.
You think they would have wanted to keep Bill? Because in theory, like, his bona fides are there, but the production wasn't there, weirdly enough.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Nah, you can't keep him, man.
Brian Callahan fired.
I'm sure he felt a type of way, too. Like, awkward, y'all awkward. Did my son dirty.
Yeah.
Right. But, hey. I don't know that they did him dirty.
Hey, it is what he getting paid.
They might have done him a favor, to be honest.
He looked very bad. I mean, Justin Simmons was out here yesterday criticizing his teammates for not showing effort. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very clear.
He said it was a bad week of practice.
Yep. Yes.
Like, damn. Yep.
It's very clear that they lost. He lost the locker room, which is harder to do in football than any other sport, I would posit, with the authoritarian nature of, like, the dynamics. And there's just so many more dudes.
Yeah.
But he lost the locker room. Clearly, the schematics were poor. There's a lot of reasons why you fire him, and those were clearly there. Now, why the owner would want to do that, we don't know, because Amy Adams Strunk, John Lopez's favorite woman in sports, she was not at the press conference yesterday to discuss the firing of the head coach. And people took issue with this. There's been four firings in the last few years by the Titans, two general managers, two head coaches. Funny enough, not at the same time.
She's going to be on her fifth head coach and fourth general manager in 11 years.
Is that a lot?
That is a lot.
Okay.
That is dysfunction.
And Paul Kaharsky, who covers that team there in Nashville, pointed to something very interesting when he said why Amy Adams Strunk should be at the press conference, something that I saw with my own eyes when I was up there in Nashville. Mm-hmm. They have city and state funding for the new stadium that they're building right next to Nissan Stadium right now, and it is very far along in the process. And she is continuing in Paul Kaharsky's words in parlance, to field horrific product and face no consequences.
Yeah.
Close quote.
Yeah. Look, Amy Adams Strunk. Well, let's hear the exchange that Kaharsky had, first of all, with the leadership minus Amy Adams Strunk.
Right now.
Where? What do you mean?
Where's Amy Adams Strunk right now?
Yeah, she's at her home.
Why isn't she here? Right now.
Where? What do you mean?
Where's Amy Adams Strunk right now?
Yeah, she's at her home.
Why isn't she here?
I'm here representing her.
Amy Adams Strunk is a weak, cowardly, inept, empty suit that, frankly, is probably the best thing that's ever happened to this division. But when you don't have... When you preach accountability and you do that in football, you know, about as much as, if not more than in any other realm, and then you are completely unaccountable after, as I mentioned, you're working on your fifth head coach and fourth general manager in 11 years, you are dysfunction personified. You're weak. You're inept. You're cowardly. I hope she hears this because there is no other way to put this. A shout out to Paul Kaharsky for making her accountable. And oh, by the way, while you're at home gardening or whatever the hell it is you're doing,
Hi, Cardi. Why is that the... How dare you? How dare you put water on that basil plant? You coward.
While you're at home doing that, on the one hand, on the other, you're asking the people that you are doing a disservice to give you money for a multi-billion dollar stadium and then putting that product on the field. And it just got me thinking, first of all, I'm actually, as much as I despise this woman and what her family has done to this city and how they've continued to steal from this city and are petty, and I could tell you stories that would curl your hair about some of the things I've heard going on behind the scenes in Nashville, not just this year, but over the years. She is an embarrassment to the NFL. Let's set that aside.
Oh, okay. All right.
To the NFL.
She's an embarrassment to Nashville, to the family name, which is saying something, you know, when you're an embarrassment to that family name, to everything that is right, that the NFL wants to see right. She's a coward. She's a coward. You have to be accountable. And the last thing she is accountable in this case. But let's set that aside.
Okay, sure.
Because I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, let me set that aside.
That's not even my point. I just wanted to be honest.
That said, it does make you think about what you have in ownership here and what you want in ownership. And it kind of got me thinking about, we're not too far removed from, I mean, they weren't inept, you know, and cowardly, but they did hide.
It was sometimes
they
where
did hide.
I think you was on this very radio show saying,
I was.
Where is Cal?
And I'm not hiding from that. I did say, where is Cal?
And you know, you asked the question because you didn't see him at the point.
Yeah, exactly. But
they took accountability too, man.
Thank you.
Like these are billionaire owners, mm-hmm. like all over.
Mm-hmm.
They could easily be like, well, I don't care what they think.
At some point,
I pop out when stuff is going good.
At some point, Cal and Hannah, or both of them, or whatever, said, and they whether they were talking to each other, talking to themselves, looking in the mirror, whatever, they said, this isn't right. This is not how we should be doing this. And they fixed the problem by getting rid of Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien. And you know, then they went not only, you know, into the public, they were proactive,
Even when the team was bad.
Yes, even when the team was bad.
The team was bad, yeah. And they were still out there, man, sweating their butts off.
Yeah.
At training camp,
yes.
Shaking hands, mm-hmm. Cooking burgers.
Yep. And the burgers is always talked about, but it's really a lot more than that. That's sort of like the face of how they have transformed themselves. But more than that, they realized we have to change. This is not right. And they made the changes behind the scenes. Well, it wasn't even behind the scenes. You know, it was on center stage. But they also, like, embraced and brought in people that they listened to in terms of the H-Town, you know, embracing H-Town and Houston and really being proactive in terms of getting out there in the community. They did so much more publicly. They answered questions at events. They did all this stuff. It just got me thinking about, I don't think Amy Adams is ever gonna change, because have I mentioned that she's a coward and weak and just a bad person?
I'm pretty sure you have. earlier you sounded a lot like, when you were talking about Callahan, it sounded like you was quoting Rocky, if I can change, mm-hmm. and you can change, and everybody can change.
But I see the thing is, these are rich owners, man. They don't have to change for anything. Mm-hmm. So this, honestly, it's kind of shocking that Callahan was willing to do all of this stuff that mm-hmm. no other owner is gonna do.
Yeah,
like you could go all 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Jimmy Haslam for the Browns ain't cooking no burgers for nobody, man. He ain't getting out there with no fans to try to do a redemption type thing to kind of get people on his side.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it brings a better appreciation for recognizing a huge flaw in your organization and something that is detrimental to you, and changing, and flat out changing. Now, it's a lot easier now that they started winning, but Figgy brought up the point. They weren't winning when they decided this ain't right. In fact, they were a laughing stock.
You had David Culley, and then eventually went to Lovie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Those were not good years.
Sure, and I think ultimately the objective is the winning part, right? Like the fans enjoy the proximity with an owner that appears like they care, or at least shows that they care, what have you. But people are in it to see a winning football team, right? Like I think we can be honest about that and not obscure that fact. The problem with Amy Adams Strunk is that she's doing neither.
Yeah.
Right? Like, pick a struggle is what people have gotten common to saying now. And so, like, right now, the struggle is both having not just a bad but an inept football team, and then also not having any level of accountability and not looking or appearing like you care at all about the struggle that you are putting your fans through.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that's not over here, right? Yeah. Like, thank God that that is not where this Texans team exists.
Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely is. And it does make also make you think also about, you know, some of the things, almost like a referendum on some of the things that the Texans are doing here, as much as they've turned things completely around. Is there anything that you want to, you'd like to maybe put in the suggestion box?
For the Texans?
For the Texans. Because they listen. You know,
they do.
They
listen a lot.
They listen a lot. They listen a lot to us. Trust me on that. anything you'd like, 713-572-4610.
I like this. Go ahead and hit the suggestion
box. Hit the suggestion box. And we can forward it.
I'll let you forward that. You put that one on your account.
Because I really, the thing I admire the most about the McNairs, and even when I was just torching them and they heard me torching them, I always said, they're good people. They were just embarrassed. And I think they're really good people, and they do the right things. And, you know, I criticized them harshly. You did. Everybody did. Well, not you, Richie. You weren't here, but most people did. But I feel like they're an ownership group that listens, and that's kind of at the core of all this. Amy Adams Strunk doesn't give a damn what you think.
And that, I think that's a lot of owners too, man, just in general. When stuff is going bad, like, they don't care what the fans think and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just, hey, you know, this is a business. I'm rich. We're trying to get it. It's my way. It's a power thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I just really appreciate Kyle and Hannah. Just, I know this is kind of a love fest at this point, but I appreciate them just getting out there and saying, hey, we want to win. Mm-hmm. I think with them just getting out there kind of showing a little bit of emotion, I guess, that they want to win. They really trying.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that kind of won a lot of people over, because that's when you stop seeing the sell the team, Kyle, and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Where a lot of fans, even though it was a bad couple years, they were still on their side a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, we're going around the NFL here. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL and get started today. All right, we had some Monday Night Football yesterday, and two games happening somewhat concurrently, not what we'll get this upcoming Monday, unfortunately.
Why not?
Buddy, I'm going to complain about that all week, and then I will drop it after that.
They started 6-7, and we're going at 9?
Correct. And
what are they doing to us?
I will say, it did make it so I kind of, even though I had both of them on, I had to pay attention to one of them more than the other, and I'm sure a lot of people with one television chose one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the right answer was Atlanta-Buffalo, right? Like, we ultimately got a really, really interesting finish with Bears-Commanders there. By the way, the Bears have won consecutive games by a score of 25-24. I don't know what to make of that. I will just leave that right here.
That'll be a scoregami.
Is that a combo scoregami?
I don't think that's how that works, gentlemen. But
no teams in NFL history.
Show me another team that did that.
Yeah.
Just a oddity. It's the first time that a team has done that back to back, though, of like scoring the same score, at particularly 25-24 consecutive games. But no, it was definitely Atlanta Buffalo, a game in which you brought in a 4-1 team and a 2-2 team, and I imagine just by those scores, you'd have been like, all right, this should be easy work. And so seeing the Atlanta Falcons jump out early and ultimately win 24-14 was shocking. But then as it was happening, it was also not shocking at all for me.
Yeah.
Did you have that same experience?
Well, after I saw the progress of the game, yes. But yeah, the outcome was shocking. I expected the Bills to win. I also, and this is just on me, I didn't know that the Falcons were such a complete team. Number one in the NFL today in total defense.
Correct.
Number two in total offense.
That's right. And it's been that. Like,
did you know that?
No, I definitely. I mean, I know they got Bijan Robinson, but I definitely didn't know the offense was number two.
Are you kidding?
Right. And I legitimately, I went back and I looked. And some of this is like, also, they had a fantastic game here.
Mm.
I was looking at DVOA, one of my favorites. You know me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I had completely forgotten that the Atlanta Falcons have been number one in DVOA defensively. Like, they have been an elite defense. They got turnovers in this game, two interceptions of Josh Allen. And honestly, they just made Josh Allen look problematic. Like, they just kind of made it look tough. And I saw DJ Bieniemy make a point that I agree with, is that this style of defense
I thought the Falcons same thing. Run, yeah.
it gives Josh Allen, mm-hmm. you know, issues. And yeah. I think that gives me a little bit of I guess comfort in the idea of when you see them at home again here in Houston later on in the season, you might be able to make him look foolish. I guess as much as you can look at a 180 yard, two touchdown, two interception game as looking foolish.
Yeah, and not only that, it did kind of have me thinking a little bit about the Seattle game upcoming, simply because the Falcons were coming off a bye week to face the Bills. And it got me thinking, all right, Texans are coming off a bye week. You have all that extra time to prepare for a quality opponent. You know, maybe it makes you just a little bit better. And to your point, you know, Raheem Morris's defense, is an awful lot like D'Amico's in terms of how they play the game. So it kind of gives you some promise there. The bad, if you want to use the word bad, man, I started thinking about, boy, if the Texans only had a running back that could, like Bijan. And I know that's asking a lot.
Yeah, that's asking for a Lamborghini
but if
at
you had
this
like
point,
a,
man.
But if you had just like a stud young running back, you know?
Well, you might look. But the thing is, everybody want a running back in the fourth and fifth round and all that stuff.
That's a mistake. It's a mistake.
Sometimes you got to jump out there, man. If it's somebody.
Well, hold on. We're jumping out of the team. Gym 14 is 3-2 right now and still figuring
out. No, I'm talking about the running
out.
Back. Yeah, and I'm talking about the running back.
I think there will be opportunity to add running back. Yeah. When of the last 2 years would you have liked to use premium draft capital?
No. What I'm saying is if there is a running back that you identify, you know, that is head and shoulders above the rest, which happened with Bijan, get him.
Okay.
Get him.
The question I have, if we're going to do this as an indictment of the Texans, when was the instance where you would have made that selection?
It's
over
not an indictment. I said if the Texans had a running back like that, but, or they could have.
But see, the problem is whenever you bring it up, it's like, oh, you could get one in the fourth round,
right?
Sure. Now, you can't even have the conversation of maybe getting somebody in the second round mm-hmm. because they say, oh, you could get
or first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I ain't even saying what you're.
I mean, Ashton Gentry this past year.
Ash Gentry, you were not going to get close to. But I understand. Like I understand.
You're missing my point. Yeah, my point is, if you can do it, you know.
I would say the second round.
This is Trader Nick too, by the way. Yeah. You know.
I mean, Trader Nick needed to get to a place where he needed an offensive lineman, and obviously had a little bit of a tough time making that deal. I hear you in general. I think also that is one of those things that's easy to do in hindsight, mm-hmm. but on the front end of this, we've seen teams go in for an incredible running back. Now you have to be like Marshall Faulk type guy, which I do think Bijan Robinson clearly has a capability of. Mm-hmm. 170 yards on the ground, add another 68 in the air, including an 81 yard touchdown run, which was the longest rush that we've had all season long. Like mm-hmm. that dude is absolutely a monster. We knew he was coming out of Texas, mm-hmm. but we've also seen that team has not necessarily been able to use that to their benefit and give them winning football. Like it all comes within a context. Mm-hmm. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that there's more context necessary there, but he absolutely stunted in this game. I do wonder though, how much of this is Bijan being incredible. Tyler Allgeier was solid up until for a decent amount. He had a nice big run as well. How much of that also do we look at the Buffalo Bills and go, oh yeah, I forgot about that big flaw in the middle. Now they were missing their starting defensive tackle, but they were already one of, if not the worst run defenses in the league to begin with, missing a defensive tackle. And you go, hey, there's a big hole there, and that's a game that's way more winnable than it looks like when we look at the remaining 12 games of this Texans schedule.
Yeah, no, look, it was just it was one of those that can kind of encourage you based on the bye week and the defense. And there's nothing wrong with having a little FOMO, you know, on some of these running backs like
hell,
that.
I was doing the same thing with like a Jahmyr Gibbs, man. Yeah. Like I don't think they needed a running back when they drafted them, mm-hmm. and they did.
Yep.
Someone was asking. Anthony Richardson goes on IR with that eye injury, so the Colts will be looking for other options. Brian Branch, Lions. Mm-hmm. We mentioned after that game with the Chiefs, he hits Juju Smith-Schuster in the helmet with an open hand slap. He will get suspended for a game. Now he is going to appeal that suspension, but I know there was people in the moment that were like, "Well, Aziz, you know what I mean? They be talking about him, repeat offender, and all this." Brian Branch seemingly getting a similar kind of reaction from the National Football League. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to college football on a Tuesday as we'll talk to D'Amico in the 12 o'clock hour. Let's talk a little bit more about the weekend that was in college football because there was a lot of ranked teams that lost. We'll talk about that more next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, programming note, again, D'Amico Ryans will be talking to the Assemble Media, 12:45 about is what we're looking at. So you'll take that live. You'll hear that live here on Sports Radio 610. In order to accommodate that, let's do a little bit of college football on a Tuesday, a weekend that was kind of wild, and it was capped off with a couple of jobs coming open, one of them on a smaller scale. Happy trails, Trent Dilfer. Thanks for stopping by the college
also
football.
Also Oregon State, right?
Coaching booth. Oregon State also, yeah, they did. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But the big one was James Franklin. We talked about this yesterday. Vacating his post after a 3-3 start for Penn State, they lost.
Vacating his post.
That's right.
Good Lord,
they got him out of here.
That is soft peddling.
They got him out of here.
Or some people I like to see say ired instead of fired.
Yeah.
I R E D.
Yeah,
they got him out of there after losing to UCLA.
I like that term, actually.
And Northwestern in successive weeks.
Yeah.
Now, where do you want to start on this weekend? Because I think there's a lot of things, and interestingly enough, like we have college football tonight.
Yeah, there's like three games.
We are in Tuesday, Wednesday college football territory just because of the landscape where with TV and stuff, mm-hmm. with all the shifting landscape, we're getting
it's
more
football every day.
We're getting more of the Power Four conferences on Fridays and Thursdays, where previously that had been like the MAC and some of the smaller conferences space. So they're moving further, even more so. I think Sam Houston is playing tomorrow night.
Oh my gosh. Did you see how Sam Houston State lost this week?
No, but at least they're giving Sam Houston State fans new and inventive ways to lose.
My gosh, I don't want to get into it. We can talk about it with B. Scott.
Okay, fair enough.
On Friday. But New Mexico State, Liberty, Arkansas State, South Alabama, Florida International, and Western Kentucky. How about that? Three college football games today. But the big one was Penn State vacating James Franklin's job.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I'm going to start saying that. I wasn't fired. He wasn't fired. They vacated his job.
They got him out of there.
Anyway, and I started to listen to all these lists, and I know you've looked at them too, Reggie. Like, who's it going to be? Who are the leading candidates?
Bill O'Brien.
What are the odds make? I actually did see him after the show. He was on one of the lists that was out there. But I also started listening to some of these press conferences, like Matt Rhule was asked about it.
Yes.
Didn't say squat. I'm happy to be here. This is a, what did he say? I think he called this a mecca or something like that. I forget what he said, but never said yes, never said no.
He can say all the buzzwords he want to say.
And there was a lot of that going around as well from Fran Brown, Syracuse coach, something similar. You never, the old non-denial or something along those lines. Someone is lying. Because someone really wants that job and in the back channels is angling to get that job. Who do you think's gonna fit there? Who do you think's gonna get it?
Matt Rhule seems like just an easy decision to make. Mm-hmm. However, there is actually an underlying issue with the Matt Rhule hire.
Mm-hmm.
James Franklin gets fired in this job. Why?
Well, the big games.
Right? He hasn't won the big games. Can I take you to Matt Rhule's record against ranked opponents?
Look at this.
Now, admittedly, this is in Baylor. Mm-hmm. This is at Temple. Now this is at Nebraska. These are not currently powerhouses necessarily, and definitely not in the times that he's taken them over. However, even with that context, Matt Rhule is 3-23.
Ouch.
In his career versus ranked teams. The total wins that he's gotten against ranked teams in the last 10 seasons, 2014, he got a win against number 21 Eastern Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
2016, he got a win against number 21 Memphis. 2015, he got a win against number 19, Navy.
East Carolina, Memphis, and Navy?
That's right. Combined 0-18 at Baylor and Nebraska going against ranked opponents, mind you. So those wins were all at Temple.
Mm-hmm. The right answer seems to be Kurt Cignetti. I mean, it just does.
Is Penn State a better job than Indiana right now?
Well, I don't think Penn State is a great job. We talked about that yesterday. But it's got to be better than Indiana. Yeah, I would think it's got to be better than Indiana.
By the way, this is a fun factoid when you talk about the Big Ten. Obviously, James Franklin gets fired. That points me over to Iowa, whose head coach Kirk Ferentz has outlasted the 56 Big Ten coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Just over there trucking along. No offense, beating the hell out of team. Actually, no offense usually, except when they play Wisconsin. Did you see this score between Iowa and Wisconsin?
What was it?
37-0.
That's what it was.
So, and this is very, very mean to say. Obviously, we love J.J. Watt around these parts. However, his alma mater, not a good place.
No.
They used to be, I mean, if you had to characterize Wisconsin, they were a good team, if even though they weren't always an interesting team. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was a Big Ten type of school.
They were trouble. I would just describe it. They were trouble. They would every once in a while get to the Rose Bowl, win the Rose Bowl. I think JJ's year. I think they did. Yeah. And they were just trouble. They're not trouble right now. And that's a big issue. They love their football in Wisconsin, man.
So not only are they not good, they're also not interesting right now. Mm-hmm. That is a great way to get Luke Fickell fired at that job.
Glad you said that to kind of put a bow on this whole Penn State opening. I think what they really need is someone interesting, someone who has won big games and maybe not with the same level of talent and pedigree as Penn State. And I think that points to three guys. One of them obviously is going to pain me very much. I think Kurt Cignetti is fits that. Lane Kiffin fits that. And Mike Elko. Mike Elko fits
Mike Elko's
that.
Name's been thrown out there.
Yeah, he fits it.
He'll dip out?
I don't think so, but you could say that all you
but
want.
Money.
And then money's not the issue. You know, he's from the Northeast and all that. So I don't think so, but you got to be fair here. And I think he wins games, has been winning games that he's not supposed to against ranked teams. Obviously built the program, has won everywhere he's been, Duke, all that stuff. And Cignetti is the same thing, maybe to a larger degree. And Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin is an interesting cat that just built an amazing program and has beaten a lot of ranked teams.
Yeah, and speaking of John Lopez, I actually bring you a gift here. I know that I don't often give your Texas A&M Aggies enough love, so I will try and do a little bit of that here today because the Aggies obviously get another victory. This team has just been very good. They beat Florida 34-17. In fact, there's reporting that Florida is thinking about they're closing in on the decision to fire Billy Napier. I think Newsweek had that this week. But when you talk about Texas A&M, they are great, not good at defense right now.
Their third downs, amazing.
That is the point that I was coming to. In SEC play, opponents are 2 of 32 on third down versus Texas A&M. They are 0-3 on fourth down.
Yeah.
They get you these late downs, you are not doing anything against this defense.
Cassius Howell has made so much money this year. I think he has 8 sacks already. The number 9 in your program. But he's not alone. They have another kid, number 50, and his name is I'm drawing a blank. He's more of a third down specialist. When they put those two guys in on third and fourth down, it's a problem. It's a big problem.
Is there a team that you're concerned with the rest of the A&M schedule as I read it out? Now, they're going on the road for 3 games, but at Arkansas?
If they come up and bite you, my answer is no.
You can just say
my
no.
My answer is no.
We but, don't have you know, to. We don't have
come
to
come up and do that Arkansas Fayetteville War Memorial State. Well, that's in Little Rock, but either way, that craziness. No is just the short no. answer. At LSU is the one.
At LSU is the one I was going to bring up. But then when you consider the fact that this defense has been really good, and you look at the way that LSU's offense has actually been a little bit dicey.
Yeah,
Nussmeier has not looked like the guy that we anticipated coming into the season.
And they've beaten. They Mike Elko has a plan for Nussmeier that has been a big issue for him.
At Missouri?
That would be probably atmosphere LSU team Missouri.
And Missouri has
they're
been
good.
They're 5-1.
They're good.
They're good. Eli Drinkwitz, also a name that you might need to consider a little bit in that Penn State discussion. Can I give you a little bit of cold water for the Missouri side of this?
I would love some.
Do you know where Missouri has gotten all their wins this year?
Not off the top of my head.
At home. You want to know why I know that?
Mm-hmm.
They have not played a road game yet.
Really?
They played 6 games this year, and all of them are at home.
That's incredible.
I mean, I didn't know this was allowed.
It's the rest of the games on the road.
I know they got them.
That's going to be
seven
tough
in a row.
Yeah.
Well, somehow they convinced the SEC to let
the
them schedule 12
the Aggies
home games
are going there.
Hey, week 7 they're going to be all right. Thank you for the season.
Senior night, week 7.
It's been great, guys.
No, in reality, these next 3 games. Are going to probably define, you know, just how much of a, God, this sounds so weird to say, national championship contender that the Aggies
Dude,
are.
Dude, they're number 5 right now. And
they look high, man.
Yeah, number 4. Apologies. Yeah. They are only high. Behind.
Did I just say that?
Dude, they're, when we're looking at what teams are good, the 3 teams ahead of them all have number 1 votes in the AP Top 25. Number 1 is Ohio State, deservedly so. Mm-hmm. They're handling their business. Miami, also deservedly so. They beat Florida State, a team that I have a stat on that will make you laugh. And then Indiana, who are clearly like a real-life, big-time program right now, or at least a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
And then A&M, right? Like, those are, I think those are the teams I look at and I go, those are the good teams in the league. I don't know how you feel about Ole Miss. I'm still figuring out my feelings there.
Yeah.
But, like, I look at that and I go, those are the teams that are good in the in college football right now. And A&M is firmly in there. You've got to think that, obviously, playoff is very well in their sights, but going deep into the playoff and making a run, like, that feels like it's in there in the possibilities for them.
I'm just amazed at myself. It's been 12, 13 years since I said anything of the kind that I just said. Ole Miss is really, really good. I think they were sleepwalking through their last game. And I think Ole Miss is going to be in the mix for a title. Texas Tech is a team you do not want to play. You don't want to play Texas
Tech.
They've
been steamrolling people,
they
man.
They have just been crushing folks.
Someone has to show up and play them in the Big 12 championship game, and I feel sorry for whoever that is. Yeah. I don't think that there's anybody in their class in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah. Alabama is a team you don't want to play right now.
Yeah, my favorite moment of the week, I made this note and I almost didn't get to it. Did you see the Caden Proctor Wildcat?
Mm-hmm.
They took the screen pass to the offensive lineman and made it. Just snap it directly to him.
That guy is... He's touching the ball, man.
There's a lot of fun stuff.
I think Georgia Tech's team you don't want to play. I'm not saying they're a national championship contender, but they're really good.
I need you to put together your teams that you don't want to play, and we'll get to that on Friday when we get our college football preview going. But that's a little college football on a Tuesday here. I might throw you a few nuggets later on in the show, but we continue to roll here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including the AP Men's Basketball Top 25 came out, and Houston obviously is there, but postseason baseball continues to roll on. We'll talk about that and more. All right, let's get to what's popping here on this Tuesday in loop on Sports Radio 610. Again, the programming note that I want to make mention of again, D'Amico Ryans will be speaking to the Assembled Media at about 12:45, so we'll carry that for you live when we get ourselves to that point. Another note that I want to have is Rockets preseason game 3 of 4 is happening tonight. They're playing against the New Orleans Pelicans. I got to be honest. Obviously, there's a lot of Rockets things I'm interested in. We talked about that earlier. We could talk about it again. I'm really interested in seeing Skinny Zion. Like, I really want to see what that looks like in this game here. So I'm excited for this game that is obviously, again, at Toyota Center. But big thing, I want to see even more. I mentioned this. I want to see even more Alperen Şengün as this hub. I'm very intrigued, and I'm actually very excited about the early returns on putting the ball in his hand, because did you see the 1-2 play? Well, actually, you probably didn't nearly as much, but the 1-2 play that Alperin and Amen have in like the reverse, where you have this big little, you know, this forward guard.
Outside in almost.
Yeah, but it's not even like, obviously the cutting of Amen Thompson with the passing awareness that has continued to grow of Alperin Sengun, it pairs together really well and it's creating really good looks for both of those. I want to see that grow and be fostered continually.
Well, and you mentioned it. They're sort of, at least early on, maybe a half or whatever it might be, kind of looking at this as a dress rehearsal. So even just early on to start the game, it'll be interesting to see how they play that.
Yeah, and this team is getting really big, right? They're playing really sizable basketball. So, I just want to see more of that, obviously more Kevin Durant. And they're treating this like a dress rehearsal is one of the reasons why this is really interesting. I think one of the things also, they're going to try and focus on getting corner threes as well. Like, they're going to try some different lineup combinations, and they're going to try and get some more shooting from the corner. Durant obviously is going to do that. Dorian Finney-Smith, who is not really going to be available for you here in the preseason, it's going to be a little bit later into the season, maybe a few weeks in the season, if memory serves, where you get him back. But this team is going to attack those corner threes, the shortest three that you can get. And I think for a team like this Rockets team that had a deficiency shooting threes, let's say like that, getting those easier threes will be good, and getting teams to force them to have to guard the corners will also create for your slashers and your drivers on this team.
Yeah, and just the amount of shooting that they're going to be getting from Durant, the amount of passing they're going to be getting from Sengun, assists, ball movement. It's just going to be fun to watch this team, you know, how they operate the half-court offense, you know, from the corner threes to running it through Sengun, through how much – you know, and you and I disagree on this, how much, you know, of a rotational guy is Reed Sheppard going to be? It's just going to be fun to watch.
True. Yeah. How much does Reed Sheppard continue to put on tape, right? That's going to be a fun thing to see. So tonight versus the Pelicans, it'll be your Rockets preseason game 3 of 4. These last two tonight and on Thursday evening are going to be the dress rehearsals, getting them ready for the season opener. A week from today.
That's right.
A week from today versus the Thunder.
Bang.
Some other things that are popping. Shout out to Kelvin Sampson and the UH Cougars. They just continue to be the best program in all of Houston sports right now, right? Like, they hold that mantle, do they not?
They absolutely do. Just a powerhouse. That's the thing that you have to kind of come to grips with, but just sort of appreciate. The Houston Cougars basketball is right up there with Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, UConn, you know, all the blue bloods. They are.
I'm not sure if I'm willing to go that far just
they
yet.
They are. Look at their last 5 years.
Yeah, but I don't think that you determine blue bloods off of a 5-year span.
Why not?
I think that the blue bloods is more of an indication of a longer span there, but they're absolutely amongst the best
the
in the
70s
league.
And the 80s, and, sure. You know, and then they're
decades in between there.
And decades in between, but now it's back. I mean, that's what happens.
Right, and I think now we're being pedantic, and that's all my fault, so I apologize for that. But Clearly, they're very, very good, and they're right where they should be, I think. They're number two on the preseason AAP poll. Now, of course, preseason polls only do but so much. But it's an acknowledgement of what this team has done. But also, they continue to bring back incredible talent, only second to a Purdue team up there. Florida's still rated highly. UConn's still rated highly. So when you talk about being amongst those teams, they literally are. Salute to Kelvin Sampson. Continue to get that respect. And I have no doubts that they'll live up to that. When we talk about preseason polls, one of those things is you often see a team where you go, well, they were a preseason, and now look at where they are. I have no doubt that they'll be able to hold up
They are just there year in, year out, as long as Kelvin Sampson is there. One just real quick note on the basketball top 25, and this is going to change a million times. Of course, we all know that. But number 8, BYU, and number 10, Texas Tech, interesting to me. They also are – those are two programs that have capitalized on NIL to the extreme. Football and basketball, they are spending money – and they're reaping the rewards.
Now, I do want to give Texas Tech their credit. And, of course, this NIL world is not not brand new. I know that they have more investment, Texas Tech does, in the last couple of years. But they had been building a basketball program in, I guess, more of what we would consider rather a grassroots way. But, like, their basketball program, this ain't out of nowhere. Like, they've been building this up.
But you
add money, and that's a superpower.
I was gonna say you can't stay there these days unless you're adding that money.
100%. Hey man, this Mariners thing. we had both championship series going last night. It'd only be the NLCS today, but yesterday the Mariners absolutely shellacked the Toronto Blue Jays. Like we saw in game one, obviously coming off of a 15-inning instant classic, we were like, oh, maybe the Mariners will lose because of that. They ended up getting a win. I was like, all right, cool. They won, but still it was close. This one wasn't. 10 runs, 10 hits in this one, and it was not particularly close. This Mariners team hits the ball so incredibly well. Like, this feels like Team of Destiny type stuff from my perspective.
They have an Astros vibe working. And not only that, but they are a very good sleep-deprived team. They are just, the last three games have been in, what, a span of 74 hours or something like that. They're just three wins in a row and crushing the ball, getting the pitching they want, they need. Yeah, Mariners have that look, don't they?
That's the thing, is like they look decisive in every facet of the game against the Jays right now. Mm-hmm. And they still have a rotation where you go, yeah, you're scared about the next guy that comes out there too. The Pens come in and been good. Like, this is just, I am preparing myself for, oh, okay.
Yeah.
World Series, they're going to be in it. And then beyond that, I think that.
Oh, they're a young team with a great farm system.
Yeah.
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 They're going to be around. They're going to be around for a while.
All that, oh, here come the Mariners. Mm-hmm. They're here.
They might be here.
Not they might be. They are.
Yeah, they are.
They
here.
Are here.
Yeah.
Want to leave you with this. The Kinder Texas Bowl announced their 2025 Gridiron Legends class yesterday. And I want to get your take on what you think of this class. In this class, Robert Griffin III, Steve McKinney, Broderick Thomas, Kevin Smith, Ralph Cooper, and longtime Houston High School coach Chris Massey.
Pretty dang strong class. Robert Griffin III, obviously, you know, especially at Baylor, good Lord. Steve McKinney, I think three-year starter, obviously Texans, pro bowler as well. And I saw this when I was looking at the release. I always knew he had a bunch of McDonald's. You know, after post-career, he invested in his McKinney Group or whatever it's called and opened some McDonald's. That guy's got 26 of them.
Nice.
26 Good McDonald's. Steve McKinney owns. Broderick Thomas, another legend, well-deserved. Kevin Smith, Super Bowl Kevin Smith. And shout out to Ralph Cooper, man. One of the all-time radio legends in the greater Houston area. Well-deserved for Ralph. Good dude, good friend. And Chris Massey, if you don't know, I think three state championships at Katy as an assistant coach. And then where did he go from there? Was it one of the size one of the Clear Lakes?
Ocho, text and let us know.
Yeah, Ocho will let us know. Yeah.
I love bowl game, like kind of Hall of Fames or legends, things like this. I know that it's not going to be something that everybody gets into per se, but like when they actually do the galas, and it's always a fun portion and part of
it's a reunion. The lead up.
Yeah, there's also that part.
Because a lot of their former teammates show up and old school previous winners, etc.
From the 832, the Astros have trained this division very well how to become winners. First the Rangers, now the Mariners. Quite possible.
Yeah, Rangers, yes and no, but yeah,
Rangers did a little
for
bit
sure.
of a fluke, but yeah, the Mariners absolutely built this thing up.
A strong division, huh?
Yeah, it is.
It is looking stronger and stronger by the minute. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about C.J. Stroud. Let's do a little bit of tiers for you. What is C.J. Stroud's dog rating amongst current starting quarterbacks? Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Those shenanigans next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.